Podcast, Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me, as always, is Jody Havnot.
Sup, Kiss Army.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Oh, brother. As you can hear, I have a cold. And I'm gonna power through it. I'm a man. Didn't Gary Schaller have a cold in the Kiss Unmasked?
Yeah, he had laryngitis.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing that great Paul Stanley doing Heaven's on Fire.
Oh, my God. Whoa. I can't do it. Anyway, I sound like Paul doing it now.
Right.
Anyway.
Boom.
Yeah, do the boom one time.
Boom.
Yeah, oh, that's right on.
Anyway, thank you guys. Crap. Thank you guys for listening to the last show. We really appreciate it. Hey. You know, we got some news. Kiss did an acoustic show this week. And the set list is kind of surprising. You guys agree?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Jody, go ahead. Hit us with like the first five songs, and let's talk about it.
All right. The first five, they did Coming Home, which is
predictable.
Expected for Unplug.
100%. Yeah. Love 'em, Leave 'em, Hard Luck Woman, Calling Dr. Love, and Mainline.
Love them and loom.
Mainline.
Mainline, right? You wouldn't expect that one.
Yeah, so maybe they're, like, what they're doing is...
You think Eric Singer sang it?
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of the video.
I haven't either. None of it.
They're preparing also for the cruise with these deeper cuts, you know?
Yeah.
That people want
them. They've done that one before.
Yeah, but, you know... I don't know. This is...
They've done all of those before, because they've done Love 'em and Leave 'em.
Yeah, that's true.
What tour was that? I can't remember.
Do you know what's really fucked up? Like, this is off subject, but on one of the live... On one of the live recent shows, they did Plaster Caster, but that song's so weird now, electric. Like, it's fine unplugged, but just it was so bizarre just in the middle of a live show.
Yeah, electric style.
Wow, I didn't hear that.
I could have sworn, one of the live shows I was watching, Plaster Casters. Really? Because I love that song, but I only really like it on either studio or unplugged. So it was so bizarre to see him, like, now doing that electric.
You think they're going to be throwing more Gene and Eric Singer singable songs out there because of Paul's voice?
Oh, for sure.
That's obviously what's happening, right?
Yeah.
All right, what's the next five?
We got another Gene one with Christine 16.
Nice.
Kind of expected. But yeah, nice.
They're doing Hide Your Heart.
Mm. Okay.
Kissin' Time.
Wow.
That's definitely Tommy's choice.
Going Blind. Predictable. And Do You Love Me?
Kind of predictable, too.
Yeah. Then they roll into another, Nothing to Lose. Yeah. Then they put the brakes on, as far as I can see. Consider it as man. They break into every time I
look.
Good grief!
Come on, man. What's up? I only think the reason I could think they would play that is because it's like lower for Paul to sing.
Yeah,
you know,
he could sing every time I look at you. Yeah, I don't sound good singing that either.
You got that's that like
Lemmy
or Michael? What's the Michael McDonald.
That's every time I look at you.
Right.
Nice.
Okay, so then they break into a great one with Lover All I Can.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
World Without Heroes.
Nice.
Yeah. Plaster Caster. Acoustic. See You Tonight, which is, done, but it's pretty awesome.
Pretty cool.
Rock Bottom.
I love Rock Bottom. Nice.
Got to Choose.
Nice.
Beth.
Yeah.
Can you guess what the last one is?
Rock and Roll All Night. So in the video that I have seen, it didn't look like anybody was standing up. It looked like it might have been like a dinner or
something. It was like an oversized unplug.
Yeah. It looked
like it had the feel of a big production. Oh, sorry, Joe.
No, that's okay. It did have the feel. Like, there was a big Kiss logo in the back.
It was bizarre. It's like a melding thing. Like, it had the big production, but, like, unplugged, and everyone was sitting.
Well, when you're looking
at... They had...
Oh, go ahead, buddy. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, maybe they had armed guards there just to shoot on sight if anyone was standing up.
But at one point, I could have swore I saw, like, a person with, like, a serving tray walk by.
Nice.
Maybe it was catered.
Maybe.
A catered affair. You know, they only really gave us four extra songs that hadn't weren't already on, like, Unplugged. You know, you got Leave on Mainline, Kiss in Time, and... what was the other one? Oh, Hide Your Heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of cool, though. Do you think that... I mean, that's the way that Kiss could go on forever, though, because it doesn't take a lot out of them. They don't have to jump around and all that.
At one Maybe they're putting the feels on that, like, making that a production thing. So for when they're done the whole... like, when they're done the big show, maybe that's something they were looking into for options for the future.
I definitely think that they could come to Atlanta and play somewhere like the Fox, which is like, I don't know how many seater, 8 or 10,000. No, it's not that many. It's probably about 4 or 5,000 maybe. And, you know, and sit in there and do an acoustic show and it'd sell out.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'd go if they came here.
Yeah, if they did Massey Hall, I'd go for sure.
They'd probably be like the pageant. It's like a maybe 4,000 to 5,000 seater.
Right. Mm-hmm. It, but all the reviews that I read by people, nobody was unhappy, so I guess that's good.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool when they do the acoustic thing, you know?
I've always... It'd be cooler if Paul did a zip line acoustic.
Right? Gene could fly up.
But like, you have to whisper, though. Just like, oh, yeah. Maybe that's all soft.
Right. What if he drew, like, when he did the blood and shit?
It was just a nosebleed, just like a bit of the sense.
Oh, you're on. That's awesome. Did you have coffee, or what's up?
No, doctor says no more coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
or
bad.
Or alcohol, or cigarette. Anyway, moving on.
We'll move on. Anyway, all right, so if you were there, write us, podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. Anyway, you look, we also need more Ask Andrew questions.
Yeah, we do.
So if you don't know what we do, Ask Andrew is where you ask Andrew, our 22-year-old buddy, a brother from another mother, questions about what...
Canadius Maximus.
Oh, I like that.
Because he's so young, you could ask him questions about what he thinks about things that maybe he didn't see. And, you know, like being a Kiss fan in the 70s, which he wasn't even like a sperm yet, or an egg for that matter. Nope. And you know, so like
Billions
I said.
A sperm, and I was the one that made it.
Anyway, okay. So let's talk. All right. So this week, our main topic, we decided, or Andrew decided, hey, let's talk Carnival of Souls. Why, Andrew, tell everybody why.
Well, I have to give a really big shout out to Chris and Aaron from the Decibel Geek podcast because their album's Unleashed with Toby Wright. That's like I've been listening to that constantly, like every other day. And like Carnival's a really funny album for me because I was really psyched and like I spinned it a few times. And then like just after that, I had a distaste for it. And it wasn't really until I listened to that, like the podcast again, that interview with Toby, that I'm just like, holy shit, like just like really digging in and analyzing it and putting on the big headphones and just like hearing all the nuances and different styles and just like I guess like
candy.
Yeah, ear candy, since it was labeled and his design would be a cock on his nose.
Right.
When he said, but yeah, just like that whole I guess maybe I had a distaste for it because I kept hearing, oh, it's the grunge album and whatnot. But after just thinking to myself, bands I do like, really, I don't mind grunge if it's like if it's not Soundgarden or Nirvana or Pearl Jam. I had a distaste for those bands. But fucking Alice in Chains is really fucking phenomenal. And they have some like great, dark, heavy songs like what Lane and Jerry do. With their vocal harmonies, it's just that nasty fucking guitar sound that's just heavy as hell. Just like this is stuff I look out for, that warm Bachner sound. Just so yeah, I just started listening to it again and had a really like without the stigma of oh this is a grunge album. And yeah, I've really been digging it lately.
Yeah, I'm a big Alice in Chains fan. Mm-hmm. It was really sad that Lane had to die. And the worst part about it was like, I don't think they found his body for like 2 weeks.
Damn.
Which, yeah, when it happened, I remember being at work and it was just crazy. But anyway.
Hey, did you see Alice in Chains open for Kiss on Reunion? Or who did you guys have down there?
No, we had the Verve Pipe or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'll say you didn't miss much, bro.
Really?
I liked Alice in Chains, but I've said it even on like Strange Ways, but it was like one of the most boring shows I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just stood there, you know how he would hold the mic with two hands?
Yeah.
That was his show. He didn't even move, dude. It was like...
Sad.
Yeah, very sad. And plus you got Kiss looming in the background. This is the reunion tour, third date of... You know, third show of the tours in St. Louis. I'm going nuts waiting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, screw.
It could have been anyone.
Yeah.
Fuck off. Bring the Kiss.
All right, so let's get into this. I have the Wikipedia page open. Are you guys ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Carnival of Souls, the final session. It's okay. I didn't take it personally. I have a vagina. Is the 17th audio album from the American rock band Kiss, originally rock slated for a 1996 release. It was ultimately not released until 1997. It was the band's final album with lead guitarist Bruce Kulick. The album is a departure from the band's classic hard rock style in favor of the grunge-oriented sound. Now, personally, I don't hear grunge when I listen to this record.
I don't really either.
I don't really hear it. It's just so weird, but you know, we'll get into this more. So let me tell you a couple of more things real quick. It says that it was recorded in 95. Kiss canceled the release because of the
reunion tour.
And then there were quite a few bootlegs out there, and then finally they just decided to release it. But Tommy Thayer and Jamie St. James from Black and Blue wrote songs on it, which is pretty cool. And then Bruce finally got to sing a song.
Finally.
Yeah, finally.
Then again, it took Eric to Hot in the Shade to sing a song. So
right, that's true.
Which I'm not saying that's right either, because it's like he's got a great voice.
Right.
Although technically he didn't. Sorry, I'm thinking out loud. Keep going.
All right, so let's get into the songs. What do you guys think? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
All right, let's start with Hate. I'm going to let Andrew start. I'm going to say the names of the songs. You tell us what you think.
I'm not doing... I thought you wanted me like to sing it. Like,
No. This is your topic, so I want you to start with Hate.
It rips. I could do without like that intro. I think that's
Boise Idaho.
This is... Even with the voice modulation, I could tell that was Paul, too.
Yeah, easily.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Gene Simmons, Scott Van Zen, and Bruce Kulick.
I thought that was pretty funny how, like, that's Paul's busting Gene's balls because, like, Gene wanted to be Billy Corgan so badly, so then he just put that in there. But, yeah, it's a fucking heavy riff. It's killer. Surprising, like, well, I guess, like, because they want to be grunge, but just it's... odd for Kiss to tune down that low. Like they're in C sharp tuning for a lot of these songs, but I think that's really cool though. I think it's heavy. I love the sound, like the amps overall in this album. I think they used a lot of Laney amps too, which was really killer. And yeah, it's a heavy riff and another album opening with the Gene song, so they're continuing with that trend,
right?
Which is really cool,
right? It's kind of Unholy Part 2, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Jody?
Well, I'm kind of the opposite of you guys. Like, I don't dig this record. I had a hard time even getting through it tonight to talk about it.
But, I used to be that way, too.
But that being said, like, I had this tape long before it actually came to CD. Like, I had it when it was called Head, right?
Head.
Yeah. And it was just a crappy Maxell I got out of some Kiss Order magazine, you know? Back in the day, and I do remember putting it on and going, holy fuck, dude, this song is badass, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I still kind of stand by that for this song, but the rest of this record to me is just, I could just throw it throw it away and never think about it ever again. I'm sorry to say that to you guys, because I know you both dig it.
Oh, no, that's okay.
That makes
okay.
me a sad panda. No, that's just like...
Well, for
you
me...
Know, like, that's... Oh.
That's okay. For me, it's... as soon as I put the CD on, I knew that this was going to be like a continuation of the Revenge album. At least that's the way it felt with the first song.
Yeah, it's, but then it just falls flat after the first song, right?
I disagree, see, yeah, but I mean, that's what makes Kiss fans, like, that's what makes Kiss such an awesome band to dig, because, like, you don't have to like everything, but just there's so much diversity in the catalog, and as long as people aren't bitching, even though most Kiss fans bitch a lot, but you know what I mean? Like, this is...
Yeah, you're right. I love Gene's vocal in it, too. Yeah. I think that it's just, you know, it is another Unholy. I mean, it's, you know, falls into that category.
Right. You know, for me, it was like kind of in the same story with Unholy. Like all of my friends, none of them really listen to like the glam metal shit. They're all into either, you know, punk rock, thrash, or death metal. And like, they would all look at me because they knew I was a big Kiss freak, even though I did like all this other shit too that's heavy and aggressive. But Kiss is just my thing, you know? And I could finally be like, look, dude, check this shit out. You know what I mean? Right. And they all loved it. They loved it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. For me, it's like, would I really listen to shit that sounded like this by any other band? And the answer is no. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it's just, it doesn't sound like Kiss to me.
Hmm. The second song is Rain, written by Paul Stanley, Bruce Kulick. It says Curtis Cuomo.
For the, like, I don't know, like, this is an all right song, but I could not see this as an album opener. Like, I don't know why this was a contender as an album opener. It sounds kind of drudgy and a little, like, it wouldn't hit you with the same punch that, like, Hate would.
Right. Yeah.
Hate's the first song, though, right?
Right, yeah. But it was,
But, like, this one was considered to be the first song, though.
What do you mean?
Like, for production, pre-production, they're just, like, they were considering this song open. So, what I'm saying is that I don't know why this was even considered to be an album opener. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I don't like the riff at all.
I like the timing in it, you know?
I don't like the reverse or the reverse reverb before Paul says, like, Rain. That takes something away from me. Like, it could be ear candy for some people, but that bugs me. I don't know. It's something little nitpicking, but that bothers me on the track.
Yeah. What are you saying about the timing, Joe?
Yeah, let me tell you. This is what I wrote. It says, I love the weird timing in it. I love the chorus, the way they bend the note up when Paul says, I think it's going to rain. I don't know, man. That's just something different.
Mm-hmm. It's like Toby Wright making them use the Lane Staley formula.
Right, a little bit. Yeah, that's for sure.
I wish they would have kept it like they did. Like, well, when you watch the making of, like on the chorus, it said, like, I think it's going to rain. But then, like, Paul and Gene did some background for I think it's going to rain, like continuing that, and I wish they kept that on there.
Right. Yeah, I saw that on that Easter egg.
It's such a mystery.
Don't touch
record.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
That is funny.
It's such a mystery record, you know? It's like
weird. I don't like how Paul sings on this record. Like, he has these weird sweeping you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I fucking hate it.
I think I like it, like he's going off into new territory, but as much creativity is on this album, you can tell that just they're also really following trends.
Right.
Why not?
And it's like the trend wasn't even cool at the time.
It definitely was. Well,
as concerned.
Well, but at the time when they recorded it, it was a more popular thing, but when they released it, it was dying. Mm. All right, let's see. Number three, Master and Slave, Stanley Kubrick.
Fucking awesome riff.
Yeah, man. All right, I'll tell you. First thing I wrote, I loved how it's bass-driven, you know? And the clean part, you know, the drum, 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 drum. It always reminds me of something Metallica might do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it reminds me of Helmet in a couple parts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They have a bit of a bass modulation on this song, too, though, which I think is really cool and adds to it.
there's quite a few things on here that remind me of Metallica,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And, yeah, definitely. Well, you know, the Black Record was huge.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was, and it was...
They were still chasing that yeah. at this time.
Yeah, and I hated the Black Album, but I don't want to get in trouble for saying that.
I didn't care for it either.
I like everything before the Black Album, and then I like a song or two after, and I really Dude. Wanted to like Monster Magnetic.
Death Magnetic. Yeah. I do love Fuel as my guilty pleasure song. I do like a lot of Load for some reason.
Yeah, you like a load?
Like a lot of loads, don't you?
Oh, I walked right into that
yes,
one.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Actually, you were sitting down when situation. That one came. Good one. All right, let's move forward. Childhood's End.
I dig this song.
So what?
Who wrote it? Simmons, Tommy Thayer, and Kulik. Yeah. I think that this is a very personal song for Gene Simmons. Mm-hmm. It comes off that way, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, who's he singing about?
One of his friends. I forget what the name. He played in a few bands with him when he was younger. I know, but I forget who they said the name of him was.
But he obviously he killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about
this song always gives me chills. Like yeah. when he says in the note you left behind, that always like sends something off and down my spine.
Yeah, one of the things about the song is depending on your point of view, it could be a happy song, man. It's almost mm-hmm. like Gene saying, "Hey, man, I loved you. I love you. You know, we were always friends, no matter how different we were."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's even talking about you know the dude was apparently religious or something. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and he was going. It still didn't matter. You know, we were friends and we were together. And you know, I don't. At least you know, everybody gets.
It's a bittersweet song.
Yeah, yeah, it is. What do you guys think? What do you think, Jodi?
Personally, don't really like it. And you know, I just
no, it's okay.
I just don't like this album. I don't like the direction they are going in. I think that the song is kind of musically kind of interesting, but. It's got the, like, obligatory fucking children's choir. I just don't
Yeah, that I could have done without. I didn't see
I
why.
Mean, you know, some of these songs when I was listening to them tonight to get ready, I was, like, skipping forward just to see if there was a change. Mm-hmm. This one I made it through. I can admit that. I did not make it through Master and Slave or Rain. this isn't for me, man. I don't like music like that, no matter who makes it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I also thought it was unnecessary. Not unnecessary, but why does he, like, do callback lyrics in the middle of a song? He's just, like, doing God of Thunder, and then on I, he does just I Want to Rock and Roll All Night. Like, just bizarre.
Right, yeah.
It's because the Beatles did it on All You Need Is Love.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm not a big Beatle guy, so I wouldn't.
That'd be my guess.
The Beatles, the four Beatles from Liverpool.
Bloody grotty.
Fifth song on the record, I Will Be There, otherwise known as Paul's personal song.
Wanna be there.
Stanley Kulik Cuomo. This is obviously a song. I did not read all the little, you know, extra little notes because I wanted to give my opinion of what I thought things were without actually knowing. I think that, you know, I can listen to a song and go, like, the first time you hear Love Gun, you really think it's about a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Wait, it's not?
It is not. But I Will Be There. When I hear it, I imagine he's singing to his son.
Well, yeah.
I could find no trace of emotion in this song, no matter how personal the lyrics were and how touching it was supposed to be. I don't find it's bizarre, and I might get in a lot of trouble with this shit, but I find no heart or like no sincerity in the way Paul sings this song. It's just like the chord change the tuning, or just like the way the chords are just very minor, just very, it sounds like a dirge. Like, it doesn't sound like him celebrating. It's like, it just, you know, it sounds like it's, the personal song on the album. Like, Paul has a lot more sincerity in other songs, but you think, like, the song that would have the most meaning would feel that way, but it just doesn't do it for me.
Doesn't do it for me either, bro. Mm-hmm. It's like Paul trying to cop Zeppelin again, but mm-hmm. in, like, that a boring acoustic side of Zeppelin, you know?
I like Friends.
I like the solo.
I do like the solo too.
I like almost all the solos in the songs, but one of the line to me that was the, it's almost like when he says, "When I'm gone and life will carry on, you'll know some way I'll be there." I always it was almost like him saying, "Yeah, you know,
might be at Kansas."
I guess that's true. He, you know, I that's the personal line for me. That's like him saying, right. "I'm gonna watch over you." Because yeah. How old was his son when this first
one?
He was one, so
one
obviously,
or two.
Yeah.
I mean, I get what he was trying to do, but like Andrew said, it just sounds like he's phoning it in a bit.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an even more manufactured forever. Like, you know how the line he was going down with forever, and then every time I look at you, this is like the next step into that right. artificial thing, you know?
I do think it was like a couple parts where it reminded me of his 78 solo record, though. Just like...
Really?
Like, huh. Maybe kind of like, what's the one... Ain't Quite Right or something, you know?
Huh.
I don't know. I was just thinking that earlier. I'd have to... I wouldn't, like, put it in stone, but that's... It kind of has those flavors, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I can see that.
Yeah. Let's see. What's next? Oh, Jungle is Ooh. Next. This was the single. Now, it did reach number 8 on the U.S. mainstream rock charts. Number 8. That's surprising.
I actually like this one, man. Mm-hmm. This is a good one.
Or maybe I got confused. Was this the one with the bass modulate? I can't remember which one at the moment. But yeah, this is a fucking... I don't know, like, the intro just is kind of slow for me. But, like, once it gets into the chorus, then just like, holy shit. Like,
yeah,
this is...
the chorus rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Me personally, if I would have been involved with this, I would have released Hate as the single, not Jungle. I mean, that's just me. I always thought that song would have sold this record a lot more, because as soon as you hear it, you're like, this is badass.
Yeah, it just like sort of gives you like a punch right at the beginning, where it's Jungle. It takes a little while to kick in, but once it does, it's worth it. Yeah.
Jungle's sorry, Andrew.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's like that'd be a good like second single, or maybe, I don't want to say a B-side, but yeah, you know.
It's a 7-minute long song, too.
I was going to say, yeah, it's way too long, especially at the end, just like, it's very uninteresting for the last 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of keeps going, you know, with this little groove. Nothing's really happening. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's kind of their version of, like, Alice in Chains, that song Wood, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's totally in that template, you know?
Honestly, I think this would be a great modern Paul solo song, you know? Like, I know none of these songs really sound like Kiss songs, but... Like, just that chorus seems like, it sounds stupid to say, though, but, like, I could see it on Live to Win, almost.
Hey, what was that band that Bruce had? Didn't he have Karabi in a band for a while?
Yeah. Like,
I think they did this song.
Some, what was it?
KB?
KB, yeah.
No, that's his old band, or unless that's what, like, they reunited.
I don't know.
Remember.
I've heard that Bruce does this song live sometimes.
Oh, wow.
I'd like to hear that.
It'd be badass, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool. All
right, next on the list, number 7, In My Head, written by Simmons, Van Zandt, Jamie St. James, who was lead vocals in Black and Blue.
Not a bad song, but I don't really... kind of for me, you know, this is where
I love the second guitar when they throw that in.
Yeah,
you know, that's pretty cool.
It's not a bad song by any means, but it's just it's one of those you know, just I really hate the word filler, because that's not where I'm going here, but yeah, it's just like less of a strong song, like not as strong as the other material.
Right.
Yeah. You know what my notes say for this one? I actually made notes. Yes.
Oh.
It says obnoxious nest of termites with weird harmonies and forgettable. Had to be real with you.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate your honesty, too, though. Like, this is, you know, it's great. Like, we don't always have to love albums. I think
right,
round tables makes it more interesting when one person likes the other. One person likes it and the other doesn't. Because then you hear, oh, what do you hear? What do you like? And, oh, that's really, you like that? That's what I hate about it. Right. So it's interesting. You know?
Yeah, it really is.
It'd be a very boring podcast if we all loved everything.
Hey, this is great. This is awesome. Okay, next song, It Never Goes Away, Stanley Kulik Cuomo.
Sabbath song.
Okay, so yeah, this is the song that always make this that actually makes me think grunge when I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear them play it, I go, well, this one sounds like a grunge song. But the other ones don't for me for some reason.
Yeah.
I think the other ones sound... Oh, sorry, Jody. Go ahead.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say a lot of... the Alice in Chains type sounding songs I really enjoy, and maybe that's why I never gave Alice in Chains like such a huge chance, because they got lumped in with the grunge stuff, but I hated like everything else that was grunge too, like, you know what I mean though? So I guess it's going back to me enjoying this album more because it sounds like Alice in Chains, so maybe I should give Alice in Chains a better shot. But like, yeah, just, I hate the stigma of this record saying it's grunge, and maybe that's just my personal opinion, because I can't stand fucking Nirvana or Pearl Jam or, like, Soundgarden or any of that. Like, I hate how the Melvins are considered grunge, too. I think they're really good, you know?
Well, I don't think the Melvins are grunge.
No.
I haven't heard them as, like in that.
Punk and thrash.
Punk and thrash. And the only reason
And King
why...
Buzzo plays this, plays an aluminum guitar, which is pretty badass. And
the only reason why this album got that label was because of who produced it.
Totally.
Yeah, that's it right there.
He produced Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
And so, I guess some other people.
So that did it right there. You know, the minute they had, you know...
Well, they said in the meetings that they specifically said, yes, we want to sound grunge.
Right.
But at least it was good grunge. If that makes what I mean.
Well, you know what my notes?
Sorry for all you people who like those bands that I just can't stand them. Send the hate mail to me. I don't care.
Podcast Rock City 1. That's the number one.
Or my personal Facebook account. Sorry, I'm talking a lot. Go on.
It's okay. All right. What does your notes say, Jody?
Well, my notes for that one, it says it never goes away, though it should. It doesn't really go anywhere. It's just kind of, there's no real change. It's just that same boring riff for however many minutes.
All right. The next two songs, I'm really interested to see where we go, what we each think of this, because I have some. Okay, here we go. Seduction of the Innocent. This is what I wrote. Simmons Van Zandt. Those are the two people that wrote it. I wrote, Gene's vocals remind me of The Elder.
Totally, yeah.
Do you hear it, though? I mean, they have that effect on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's a throwaway song.
I do, too.
It's not bad. I like it better than the last track.
You know what it sounds exactly like to me? It's like that Godsmack song, Voodoo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that song.
I don't like those guys either. Imagine that.
Bro metal. I hate bro metal.
I think it's like very derivative 90s ickiness. You know what I mean? That's not Kiss. It doesn't sound like Kiss to me. It sounds like Godsmack.
Well, none of the songs sound like Kiss.
Stand alone.
Yeah. That's the thing about this album is, you know, the guy who... let's see. There was a guy that the critic, one of the critics, it was from All Music critic Stephen Thomas Erlewine criticized the album, writing, in some ways it should have stayed unreleased since Carnival of Souls hardly captures Kiss at their best. He said none of the songs, either the predictable rockers or the by the book power ballads, stand out. And the music sounds canned, forced, and overproduced, with little of the self-deprecating humor that made the comeback tour a success. So, I mean, even this guy was like, this isn't Kiss.
Well, he sounds like he's looking for a Destroyer, just what he would have said, like, the same shit about the Elk, just be like, oh, well, they're trying to be Token. Right, why aren't they doing Destroyer? Like, that's a fucking critic. Like, he'd say that about anything that wasn't Dressed to Kill or Alive or Destroyer.
Right. But he's right, though.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he's right, but just, like, what do you fucking expect, you know? Like, Creatures doesn't sound like
Kiss. Like,
what? That's, like, in quotations, because that's a broad subject, you know?
It's not Hotter Than Hell.
Just like, it's like, it doesn't sound like the original six. That's what every,
compare them to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see. Next song, I Confess, another Elder song for me.
Favorite fucking song on this album. I love the strings on there, and I laughed my ass off when Toby Wright was just talking to the musicians, and he'd refused to tune down his violin, so just like, tune down that fucking piece of firewood.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, and put in viola range. But yeah, man, I love how it's almost like, it sounds fucking weird, but it reminds me of very Secret Agent sounding. Like, it's got like a heavy thing, but then it goes into like that symphonic sound. It's very espionage, very James Bond. I really like it.
Right,
maybe because it has a lot of variety. There you go. Craig and Eric.
Cool. Jody. Yeah.
You know, this one I don't mind as much as the rest. I think that there's parts of it that remind me of that. You ever heard the song, The Thing That Should Not Be?
Yeah.
Metallica? Kind of reminds me of that. But it also, it kind of reminds me of Gene's, like, 78 solo record a little bit, like, the way he's singing. And I also really like that there's, like, this great, there's, like, Gene-isms, like, when he's, like, can't find your say, yeah, oof, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, totally, I can't do it. But you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, that sounds more Headfield. Like, always turns it.
But you know what I'm saying? There's a bit of old school Gene to that, and I always like when he resorts to his old ways.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever he does that, it's like a little beacon of hope for me, you know. In an album full of
bat boot.
Yeah, old school devil bat boot.
So I have to put in like a Peter thing every time we do this fucking show.
He wants to put his Peter in the show.
Wow.
Penis jokes.
Yes, you've taken
highbrow. We're really highbrow.
Shot in the mouth.
We're stiff with that.
And penis jokes. Okay, next song, In the Mirror. Let's see.
Hey, we didn't hear what you thought of I Confess, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Did we?
Yeah, I said that I think that it's another one of those songs that could have been on The Elder.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
There's even a couple of times where I heard a riff and I was like, oh, that sounds like Queensryche. You know, I know it's weird, but I would hear it and it would just remind me of something they would do. But that's still Queensryche is a Seattle band and their sound is different and they're, you know, they do things differently, apparently.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Starbucks was putting something in their coffee that made all those bands.
All right. In the Mirror, Stanley Kulik Cuomo.
This is a throwaway for me.
I'm with you. Yeah, the only thing I like, what's really cool though, is like right before the solo, it breaks down. It's kind of like that breakdown in Lover All I Can where it's like cool drum fills, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let me also say, and I really wanted to get this out, Eric's drumming on this whole album is badass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
absolutely. He's a fucking monster.
He's a monster, you know, and he goes off through the whole thing. And if you don't like the music, if you just listen to the record, you could totally appreciate his drumming.
And you can learn so much for, like, if you're studying drums, listen to this or Revenge, you know, and just, like, the fucking drumming on that.
Yeah, he has his own, I mean, he's a rock drummer, but he has his own, just his own little thing that he does that, you know, when you hear it, you're like, man, this is why he's known as one of the most badass, you know, drummers.
That's why everyone employs him.
Employs him. They all want him. You know, the first time I ever saw him, I always say it with Badlands, and I was like, good God, this drummer is awesome. You know, and sure enough, let's see. So what do you guys think of In the Mirror?
It's honestly forgettable, in my
it's
opinion.
Kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It's the mass.
Yeah, let's move on. Now we got the special one.
Special.
I Walk Alone by Simmons Kulik, and Bruce Kulik sings it. Yay!
No offense to Bruce Kulik. Like, I love it with vocals, but I think this also would have been, like, almost in the fractured sense. Like, I would have loved, you know, like how the intro Like, I think that itself could have built off into, like, a really cool instrumental. You know, like, I could hear that definitely on, like, a Bruce Kulick solo record. But you know what? He's got a great voice, and, like, I think it's an awesome song. And, yeah, I don't know. I just I'm really happy he finally got to sing a song. But it's just, like, heartbreaking that, like, he put so much into this, and then for the longest time, no one could hear it, and, like, it just got scrapped because of, you know, the reunion tour, so that must have been devastating to Bruce.
Right.
But, yeah, this song's great, and I think it's an awesome closer. He's got a fantastic voice.
For me, this was the song that I thought really didn't belong on the album, and not because it wasn't good, because this is the least sounding Kiss song to me, but I love the, you know, that you can tell that there's more work for Bruce put into this, you know, and then you get to the solo and it's all that, like, reverse, you know, is it playing in reverse?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, you know, different, and I like that. You know, I think it was almost like his opportunity to go, eventually this is what I'll do, you know, when because, you know, he always said, I know eventually they were going to get back together. What do you guys think? Oh, well, Jody, I'll read your lines. Ready?
Yeah. Is it that predictable?
Yeah, go ahead and read your lines.
Well, I think that it's interesting music, though. It's not really a Kiss song to me,
right?
But it's more like Bruce as the Edge, if you know what I'm saying. Like, he's going full on the Edge, like U2.
Right.
And I think if I was producing this record, I would have been like, look, just have Gene sing it. You know, I mean, you got Gene and Paul are both great vocalists, and Bruce is just kind of average, I think.
I think
Gene, it's cool that he got to sing, but I mean, I don't think he sounds that great. Like, he doesn't sound better than Gene or Paul.
I disagree. I think this song really fits for him. Like, I know he wrote it and whatnot, but just, it would have been cool to hear the Gene takes on this, because I think they tried Paul at first, but it was too low for him.
Right.
So, but I would have loved to hear, like, a cut with, like, the Gene vocals.
Yeah, me too.
I think that would have been cool. But I think Bruce really nails it on this one. I think he's got a great voice, and it's a totally different flavor to what we've been hearing for years. So it's a very special track. Like, as I said, I love it as it is, but I think just taking the first, like, few bits of this song would have made, like, a really cool, almost like a Fractured style instrumental.
Right. It's like Where the Streets Have No Name.
Again with the fucking, no, it does.
Dude, yes it does. It sounds like the Edge.
Ugh, I hate the Edge.
That's not a bad thing, I don't think.
Oh, I can't stand the Edge.
It's interesting. It's different.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, this album...
I could totally hear it, dude. I'm just being...
I know.
This album peaked as high as 17 on the Finnish album chart. In the U.S., it got to 27, which is really surprising to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Must have just been all a reunion, like, hoopla, people buying it.
Yeah, Dutch... Helping it. Dutch is 66, European is 84, which is where I would have thought it would have been in the U.S.
There's a continent that has the charts? Like, I guess overall.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
European album chart. And then Norwegian was 23. So, I mean, you know, people buy Kiss records no matter what, because they usually know that something's going to, you know, something good will come out of it.
Yeah, like the great album art for this one.
Yeah.
That was really disappointing. They just threw away every, you know. I don't know.
Well, they could have put makeup on it, you know, even though they probably should have. Would have sold more, probably.
And then you had Bruce with the beard.
Looked like, you know, if you want to see that, you could go downstairs and jam with some people, right, Andrew?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but don't ask them to be on time to pick up their shit.
Right.
Come on now.
Anyway, all right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our roundtable of Carnivals.
Round and round.
Of Carnivals.
We'll find a way. Just give it time.
There's a rat reference in our show for the first time ever.
Rat and roll.
All right. So we did not get a question this week for Ask Andrew. We've been getting them every week for months.
Yeah, so we got to just make another request, man. We want your Ask Andrew questions. Even if you've sent one before, send us another one. Come on.
Ask Andrew any question you want. And he actually said...
What's your PIN number?
Yes, he said that he has a question for Jody and I this week. So instead of Ask Andrew, it's going to be Ask Jody and Joe. I'm not going to record that shit and make it because... But we sounded good doing it. Mm-hmm. All right, so what's your question, big guy?
My question is, let's say Peter never joined the band, and instead we had Eric Carr was the original Kiss drummer. Would his character still be the Fox? And with his technical abilities, but lack of swing and complaining, what do you think Kiss would have sounded like? And what do you think, what kind of direction would it be? And would they... Just your thoughts on what his character would have been and how things would things have gone a lot more smoothly or just...
Holy crap.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
Whoops. Okay, what's your favorite color?
No. This is good. All right, so no, I don't think his character would have been the Fox. I don't think did he have any choice in that at all? That was just put on him, right?
Well, I think Bill suggested that.
Right. But before that, the guys came up with their own ideas.
Maybe he would have been like a pipe wrench because he was fixing stoves and
damn,
stuff.
Damn, that was what I was going to say. Damn.
Hey, great minds think alike, buddy.
He was going to be a plumber and his ass crack would be out all the time. No,
There's a little hole in his costume that's just like the ass crack.
No, man. You know, he probably had, you know, I can tell you this. I don't think that he would have, at the time when Kiss was getting together, I'm not sure at the beginning that he would have even been interested in doing something like this. I think
he was more into like the whole Bob Ross disco theme,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And he had that look.
Showing people the joys of painting while he played drums.
Now, you put him in the band for the first few records.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how well it would work. You know, he was...
Yeah, because you kind of need Peter's style for those early songs.
Yeah.
It might have been too technical and lost that sort of swing. And
yeah, you know, I mean, Paul Kiss, musically they played Chuck Berry, but Peter Criss played, you know, big band.
Right.
He was but always...
Listen to what he does on shit like Watching You.
Yeah.
Like, if you were just playing, like, a straight beat like Eric might have...
Then it wouldn't have worked as well or would have been as rememberable, possibly. Right.
Yeah. It's hard to say, though. I mean, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's definitely would have probably stuck with the band. He probably would have never left, you know? Mm-hmm. But who knows, when you hear all the things that Paul had said in his book about Eric, it's like, huh.
Yeah, that's the first time I've really heard anyone speak negatively about
Eric.
But it was like so much. It's just like, wow.
But I think that...
He would have the complex then, though, right? Sorry, Joe.
Right, no, you're right. But I think in the end, for Paul, I think the Eric, you know, acting the way he did, according to Paul, I think that it annoyed him. It obviously annoyed him. It's just like, here, we've opened up and given you the keys to the city, you know, and instead
and
of
you're fixated on not being the
original guy drummer. Instead of taking those and going, all right, where's the luck, click, I'm in, you know, you're going, I'm never the damn door was open when I got here, you gave me the keys but I didn't get to unlock the door, and you're unhappy about that. I'm like, go in.
I know, but that's extremely, like, that's nothing considering, like, the every day that, like, what Peter complained about.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, but I can see that it's, yeah, it's just, I don't know.
You know, but that was the thing, you know, it's like, I guess, you know, there should have been more, you know, stories about Eric that were positive. I like
I felt it was just airing out dirty laundry and just like.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
But we could do a whole show on Eric Carr and everything that, you know, we should really get Loretta, if you're listening, I've talked to her before. I've talked to her before. It was really hard to work that out, but anyway.
We should have that Tato Rocks on sometime. We'll do an Eric Carr episode. That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
That was my first Strange Ways episode, remember?
Yes, it was. Yes, I do.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, you guys, thank you for coming on with me today.
Thank you for having us on. Again,
you guys have anything coming up?
Dude, we're slacking, man. It's the summer. Yeah. I get super busy in the summer, dude. You know.
Yeah.
It's nothing new to the Strange Ways listeners. Every summer, we kind of just fuck off for a little while.
Oh wait, hold on. You know, I thought about this. Today's Clinton's birthday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Clinton.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's, did it say he was 41? Damn.
Yeah.
41. Anyway, yeah, so happy birthday from us. And, hey, man, this was fun. It was pretty cool, and it was, you know, interesting to hear everybody's point of view. I really appreciate you doing this. You got anything left to say, Jodai?
I would say, hey, Kiss Army, don't take it personally. I just don't really dig that album.
And Andrew Kiss. Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hey, listen, you guys, and I know you guys have been hearing about this, but yes, I am putting a book together. Go to podcastrockcity.com, fill it out, tell your Kiss story, and I will put it in my book. It's going to be nothing.
We want to read your body.
Yes. That's a good
so
point.
Stupid.
Anyway, if you fill it out, you'll get your own page in the book. It'll tell your story, your Kiss story, how you, discovered the band. And Andrew Kiss is going to do it this week, and so is Jody Havnot. They're going to go on and do it. I have about 50 stories so far. I want 150. So please go on, get them done. And the stories are great, and I really appreciate every one of you guys that have sent it out. To me, it's been a lot of fun. Anyway, don't forget to listen to all the shows that we love, and you will hear all their commercials. Oh, you know what, man? Before we go, I am so sorry. A few people shared our show on Facebook this week, and I wanted to make sure I give them a shout-out, okay?
The week style.
Yes, sort of. Shane Hebert, Matt Porter, Josie and Belly, Ken Mills, that's all I saw, but thank you guys for doing that.
Thank you.
When I post it, if you share it, I will mention you. And also, if you could give us a review on iTunes, it helps. We were actually, our episode for last week was actually in the top episodes on iTunes.
Was it?
Wow.
Yeah, Ken Mills sent me a message and let me know. And that was pretty cool. I think we were in there and the Kiss Room.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to listen to all the shows that we love very, very much. You'll hear their commercials in 3, 2, 1. Peace. Peace.
'Greetings from Jandel, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some. For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting Podkissed, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your Podkist. Every month, the Podkist crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss Talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkist.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkist.
The Podkist, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck, Lee. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me, and as far as I'm concerned.